This morning's reading comes to us from the Gospel of John, the first miracle that Jesus performed in this gospel, chapter 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And now, as I've already given a little bit of a welcome, I want to invite you to join me in welcoming the Reverend Jessica Chapman to Fairview's pulpit.
Good morning. Thank you so much to Sarah and to you all for inviting me to speak and worship with you all this morning. Will you pray with me? God of wisdom, Spirit of love, be with us in this space. Surround us with your presence, offer us your wisdom, fill us with your light. Worship with us, speak with us. Holy One, come. Amen. So I'm from the Black church tradition, so I need you to speak back. Okay, no silence here, okay? We're all in this together. So just days before our text picks up, Jesus meets those who would later become his truest friends. He meets Simon, who becomes Peter. He meets Andrew. He meets Nathaniel. He meets his disciples, those who would travel with him by his side, working with him, and witnessing his miracles. And where our text picks up, Jesus and his disciples were invited to a wedding. This wedding in Cana, as all weddings in ancient Israel, was a huge deal. The entire village would join in on the festivities and celebrate the new couple embarking on their marriage journey. Drums would be thumping, bodies would be dancing, and wine would be flowing. But the wine ran out. Jesus' mother, in noticing the wine, approached the one capable of miracles and whispered to him, "They have no wine." Jesus responded, somewhat surprising in his rudeness, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." He's asking, "What do you want me to do about this? Fixing a wedding's wine problem is not what God called me to do." But then his mother, in true motherly fashion, ignored her son's rudeness, trusted him with this task, turned to the servants working at the wedding and said, "He's got this. Do whatever he tells you." So I imagine a disgruntled Jesus rolled his eyes at his mother, looked over at his friends in embarrassment, and proceeded to do what his mother asked. Jesus glanced over to the corner of the festivities and saw several empty stone water jars, jars traditionally used for Jewish purification rituals. You see, these weren't just your ordinary clay jars that used to fetch water from the well every day. These weren't just regular clay jars used to fill baths or to water plants or for household cooking. These were special jars, jars used in divine ritual, jars used in sacrament. These were sacred jars, holy jars, jars with purpose. These were empty jars, whose already sacred purpose was being elevated for something even more profound. Jesus used these jars as a testament to his own power to demonstrate his own divinity in the world. But before Jesus chooses to follow his mother's direction and fill these empty sacred jars, we must first return to the original concern. The wedding has run out of wine. And as I mentioned, ancient Israelite weddings were festive occasions filled with excitement and celebration, so running out of wine in the midst of a wedding would have been a tragedy. Running out of wine in the midst of a wedding would have been as if a car ran out of gas in the middle of the road, or as if a runner ran out of steam in the middle of their race, as if a professor ran out of words in the middle of their lecture, as if a preacher ran out of words in the middle of her sermon. Running out of wine in the midst of the wedding would be as if an activist ran out of hope in the middle of a protest. There was something missing. Perhaps these examples are dramatic illustrations of a wedding simply running out of wine or liquor. Or perhaps the wedding running out of wine is a creative metaphor for a feeling we've all at some point experienced. A feeling of emptiness, periods of weariness, moments of tiredness, when a void within us yearns and cries to be filled. Not many expressed this deep and human void like the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who, just 3 years after leading a subversively successful march through Selma, catalyzing a societal shift towards justice, did he admit to being weary? He said, quote, "I'm frankly tired of marching. I'm tired of going to jail. Living every day under the threat of death. I feel discouraged every now and then and feel my works in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again." Dr. King fought for racial equality and policy change. He worked for labor rights, international peace building, and social welfare, and all of his endeavors at points left him empty like a clay jar. His endeavors, many facing success, many met with challenges, were radical movements towards justice and peace. And the work left him tired. His family was threatened. His own life was threatened. He was jailed. He was followed. He was silenced. He was mocked. And he was weary in the struggle towards justice and peace. "I feel discouraged every now and then," he says, "and feel my works in vain." Much like the wedding that ran out of wine, much like the car that ran out of gas in the middle of the road, much like lights that go dim in the middle of darkness, Dr. King ran out of steam. He ran out of energy. He was tired. And much like the empty sacred jars, he was yearning to be filled. Of course, we could just be filled with water and left at that. But then we would just be watered down versions of ourselves. Or like the empty clay jars, we could be filled by God and through divine power have our watery lack of energy be turned into good wine. And as Dr. King shared, "I feel discouraged every now and then and feel my works in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again." The Holy Spirit refilled his emptiness, refilled his void, and prepared him to keep on pushing through. The Holy Spirit sustained him to continue in the struggle. The Holy Spirit refilled his passion for fulfilling his call. And much like the wine that can continue the wedding party, Spirit refreshed and revived Dr. King's ministry, and there were many others working alongside him. Others like Ella Baker, Fannie Lou Hamer, and Dorothy Height, who famously declared, "Greatness is not measured by what a man or woman accomplishes, but by the opposition he or she has overcome to reach his goals." Throughout the movement, throughout movements shaped and molded by the work of Dr. King and countless others, movements continuing on in the legacy of those who fought for recognition of their full humanity, movements that create and birth and inspire generations, are movements fraught with opposition. They are movements fraught with pain and struggle, movements fraught with violence and chaos, movements fraught with agony and despair. These movements, those as iconic as the civil rights movement, those as mighty as the LGBTQ movement, those as essential as the Black Lives Matter movement, those as flourishing as the Women's March, these movements are fraught with opposition, and that could leave us tired. There are those who worked and continue to work to stop these movements from happening. There are those who worked and continue to work to thwart these movements from flourishing. There are those who worked and continue to work to undermine the legacies these movements are leaving. There are those who worked and continue to work to silence these movements, even to the point of murdering a movement's leader on a motel balcony. And I'm sure Dr. King's words are whispered every night by countless others participating in these movements. I feel discouraged every now and then and feel my works in vain. I'm sure every night countless whisper, "I'm tired." I'm sure every night countless whisper, "I'm broken." I'm sure every night countless whisper, "I'm weary." I'm sure every night countless whisper, "I'm empty." And in the midst of our own personal and our own daily movements, we too may whisper these words into spirit's air. In our own movement towards our own power, in our own movement towards our own flourishing, in our own movement towards our own happiness, in our own movement towards our own success, we too are fraught with opposition. We too are fraught with pain, with brokenness, with doubt, with fear. We too may at times feel empty, whispering for spirit to fill us like those empty clay jars. We are the empty jars yearning to be filled. But much like those jars at the wedding in Cana, we are no ordinary jars. We are no mundane jars. We simply cannot be filled with just water. No, like the jars in Cana, much like our ancestors in justice and in faith, we are divine jars, special jars, purposed jars, yearning to be filled by that which will keep us going. Yearning to be filled by that which will revive, refresh, renew us in our times of tiredness, in our times of opposition, in our times of emptiness. "They have no wine," Jesus' mother declared to him in expectation, and the divine jars were filled with water and turned to good wine. In the movements of our lives, in the movements of our time, we run out of wine. We run out of energy, we run out of steam, we run out of hope. "They have no wine," she declared. We run out of courage, we run out of faith, we run out of patience. "They have no wine," she declared. We run out of confidence, we run out of stamina, we run out of expectation. "They have no wine," she declared. But yet the divine jars were filled with water that turned to good wine. And Jesus showed up right on time to fill the jars at the wedding in Cana. The Holy Spirit showed up right on time to fill the jar of Dr. King, to fill the jar of Dorothy Height, to fill the jar of those in the struggle, to fill the jar of those who are tired, weary, empty, to fill the jar of those like us yearning to be filled. "They have no wine," she declared. Will you trust God to fill you with hope? Will you trust God to fill you with energy? Will you trust God to fill you with purpose? Will you trust God to fill you with power so that you may continue on in your movement? Amen.